This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Sunday. What day is it? Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, brand new year, and I'm excited to be here with you guys. This is episode 122 of the Conscious Resistance Network. We are currently live right now across Facebook on several pages. We are also live on float.app/consciousresistance, as well as dlive.tv/consciousresistance, and shout out to everybody who is taking the time to watch us off of Facebook, of course. I know I'm a broken record when I say this, but you guys need to think about, why are you supporting Facebook? Why are you supporting the banks? Why are you supporting big tech? We're going to talk a lot about that. Today is titled The Best and Worst of 2020. Of course, you know, the new year, we're 3 days into it. I figured I needed to do a review of all the things, all the work that I've done in 2020 to share that with you guys, as well as a review of some of the stories you might have forgotten about. Because I know we've been super hyper focused on COVID for the last 12 months. But there are other stories that have taken place, other very important stories that are going to affect you and your family going into 2021. So I hope you will stay with us throughout the next 45 minutes to an hour as we cover this information. Before we go further, though, I want to remind you guys that my website is theconsciousresistance.com. That is theconsciousresistance.com. You can find all of my content, including my most recent mini documentary, The PCR Deception, and my previous mini documentaries, The Darkest Winter, as well as The Great Reset, Where Do We Go From Here? And you can also follow us on the aforementioned Float. You can follow us on Mind. You can follow us on Hive. You can join my text list. Those of you who are on my text list, thank you to all of you. We're nearly at 1,000 people on this text list. And that means every time I do a video, those of you who are on the list get a text that says, going live now with a link. And that makes it so much easier to cut out big tech, so you don't have to worry about Facebook notifying you. I'm not even on YouTube, so you're not going to get YouTube notifications. Another way to follow my work is to join the Telegram channel, the Conscious Resistance Telegram channel, or the Derek Bros Daily News Telegram channel, or both of them. And you can find our videos on BitChute, Library, and of course, if you want to support us, go ahead and do so at patreon.com/Derek Bros. And shout out to all my Patreon supporters. I really do appreciate it. Without you guys and without my being able to get paid for my writing at The Last American Vagabond, I would have had to stop doing this a long time ago. I would have had to give up being an independent journalist, because independent journalism and journalism in general does not pay well and is not a very profitable gig, at least when you're outside of the corporate media. Maybe if you go write for the Houston Chronicle or the New York Times and you do a bunch of corporate shilling, then they pay you pretty good and you get health care and all that stuff. But that's not available to me. So I appreciate everybody who helps make my work happen. So before we get into the highlights of 2020, looking all the way back to early January 2020 till the very end of December, I want to remind you guys that I have two big things coming up. First, the most immediate. Beginning this Wednesday, guys, this Wednesday, I have a brand new exclusive podcast that is only playing on Rockfin. As you can see up here in the top left corner, Rockfin, rokfin.com/consciousresistance. You can find my channel there. The way Rockfin works, it's a free platform. You can sign up for free to check out my videos if you just want to watch them on Rockfin as opposed to YouTube or other places. Some people like the way the Rockfin player works, and you can see most of my videos for free. However, if you sign up for a Rockfin premium account, you're going to get bonus content, exclusive content from me, from Spiro, from Whitney Webb, from Jason Burmis, from Last American Vagabond, from Graham Elwood, and so many other content creators. I think Jimmy Dore and so many other people are on Rockfin that have free content and premium content. So beginning this Wednesday evening, I'm going to have an exclusive podcast available only on Rockfin. It's going to be 13 weeks long, and it is called Beneath the Pyramid of Power. And I did a video about this just a couple of days ago for those of you who want to catch up. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but basically I'm launching a new podcast that's going to look behind the scenes of my upcoming documentary, The Pyramid of Power, which is itself a 13-part documentary series looking at the people who truly rule our world, the people who make up the various pieces of this pyramid of power. And so the podcast is going to give you way more behind the scenes look at it. I'm going to feature exclusive interviews that I won't be playing anywhere else, and just diving deeper. But also rest assured, if you don't feel like paying $10 to join Rockfin, you're not going to miss out any of you know, you're still going to watch the documentary for free when it comes out in March. But if you want to support me and get a little more behind the scenes and check out a new podcast I'm putting together, check out rockfin.com/consciousresistance. All right. And then the other thing, the biggest announcement of this week, the greaterreset.org, the Greater Reset Activation. It's an initiative of the Freedom Cell Network that I put together. And again, me and John Bush put out a video a couple of days ago that you can find on the front page of the website, basically breaking down all of what the event's about, going over the plan for the 5 days. And we also covered some of the speakers, which you can find here: Dr. Vandana Shiva, Dr. Mercola, James Corbett, Charles Eisenstein, Richard Grove, Stephen Books, Jack Spirko, Rosa Corey, myself, Ice Age Farmer, aka Christian Westbrook, Sire G and Kelly Brogan, lots of other really powerful and influential speakers who are going to focus on solutions. Shout out and thank you to everybody who has emailed me and reached out and offered to, you know, add a speaker to this. We are completely full. And at the same time, I will want to say that the speakers we were looking for were people who were exclusively focused on solutions. We have each day a speaker who's going to talk about the problems, which will basically be like, here's the World Economic Forum's version of what they want to create. And then we'll talk about what is our version of reality. How can we create a better world? So each day, Monday through Friday, January 25th through the 29th, the first speaker will be the problem speaker, followed by that, the solutions. And so this is going to be completely free to stream online. We're still working out the details. It will definitely stream through our website, and it'll probably stream other places. But we are also encouraging everybody to host local watch parties wherever you live. Use the freedomcells.org website to meet other people, to create events, or whatever websites you want to use. And also, we just announced, I think 2 days ago, this is the first time I'm doing a video about it, that tomorrow tickets are going to go on sale for what we're calling the Greater Getaway. If you want to come down to Mexico, specifically to Zihuatanejo, I am going to be hosting an in-person event. I know that at least one of the other speakers will be there, Lainey Liberty, and there might be other speakers that show up in person. But generally, we booked out a venue for all 5 days. You can come watch the event in person on a big projector screen. This is Lainey Liberty right here. She talks all about world schooling and such. Really awesome, powerful topics, educating the kids, freeing the kids' minds from the system. So we're going to have this in-person event. I will be hosting and we'll be projecting the speakers on the screen. You can come meet other like minds, hang out in Mexico. We're going to be 10 blocks from the beach. There's going to be food catering. There's plenty of hotels and hostels and Airbnbs in the area. Again, it's Zihuatanejo. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you will be able to see this on the website and you can start booking your tickets for the Greater Getaway. Now, the venue we booked has room for 200 to 300 people. We don't have no idea what to expect, but we figured we're going to do it. So if you want to show up and if you've got your passport and you can make it down on time at the end of this month, January, we would love to have you in person, meet other like minds, hear these ideas and figure out how you can incorporate them into your life. So yeah, that's the announcements I've got right now for the moment. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the top I guess it's my top 30 stories of 2020. And let me know if you guys can hear me okay. These are my top, my personal reports, personal stories and articles that I have either written myself or videos, content that I've produced myself. And some of these, you know, they lead into other big stories that are going on because there's a lot happening in 2020. Like I said, there's so much happening that people are so exclusively focused on COVID that we're missing a lot of the extra things going on. So I want to start first before I get into my own personal stories, the articles I've written, what I think is the most important in 2020 is this. This is what matters in 2020 and what matters in 2021. And this is from defendwikileaks.org. Tomorrow morning, Monday, January 4th, in the UK, a UK judge will rule on whether or not the United States can extradite Julian Assange to the United States, where he is facing crimes, you know, for being accused of publishing evidence of war crimes and illegal spying in 2010. He faces a 175-year sentence. And of course, most of the major media who benefited from the WikiLeaks disclosures back in 2010, what used to be called the collateral murder tapes, have been completely silent. They have shut up. They have not supported WikiLeaks. And even Donald Trump, who campaigned in a heavy way in 2016 on how great WikiLeaks was because they were exposing the Democrats, has been pretty silent about this whole situation. So, you know, it's not surprising, but I think it's sad to see. And some of you who follow my work, you know that a couple months ago, I did interviews with Tarak Haddad, who's a former Newsweek journalist who quit Newsweek in late 2019, early 2020, because they refused to publish his story about the lies about the Syrian gas attacks. I interviewed him several times because he was reporting from the UK on Julian Assange's extradition hearings. If you want to learn more about that, if you want to learn more about what exactly Assange has been accused of, what exactly they're setting this up for, go visit theconsciousresistance.com and search WikiLeaks, and you will find those interviews. But again, January 4th, a British judge is scheduled to rule against Julian Assange. Well, we don't know. Rule either way. Again, in the case of Julian Assange, the U.S. government is seeking to extradite Assange for publishing evidence of war crimes and human rights abuses in 2010. I remember I woke up in late 2009, early 2010. So I clearly remember watching these. How many of you have been around that long for 10 years and remember seeing this stuff? You remember seeing, again, the collateral murder tapes were the videos that show that basically show the U.S. military shooting journalists. You know, just like we have clear black and white videos where you can see these guys, these military soldiers kind of laughing, thinking that they believed, or they claim they believe, that they were shooting at terrorists. But either way, one of the guys clearly wearing a camera and is, you know, clearly a journalist. And they're just sitting laughing maniacally as like shoot down from the helicopter. And that was released via Chelsea Manning, at the time Bradley Manning, and WikiLeaks. And so the government is horrified that they were exposed for this, and they've wanted to get back at Assange forever. So now they have that chance. And Defend WikiLeaks writes, quote, the U.S. is requesting Assange's extradition on charges that legal scholars have testified would, quote, radically rewrite the First Amendment. If sent to and tried in the United States, Assange would not be allowed to mount a public interest defense and would be held incommunicado detention. For his journalism and publishing, which he has won dozens of awards, he faces 175 years in prison. So I really got to say how insane this is, though, when you guys really think about this, because for one, Julian Assange is not an American citizen. So, you know, it's funny how the U.S. government acts and some Americans, too, where they're like, well, the Constitution only applies to Americans. So they don't want to, you know, they don't think human rights and everybody has a freedom of speech. It's like, oh, that's just for Americans, not applied to everybody. But then at the same time, even though the Constitution isn't equally applied, they want to say, well, if you commit a crime, what they believe is a crime against the American government, you know, because it's not against the American people. People confuse that. The government is not the people. The government is the criminal class that is running the country. And the government basically says, oh, well, you did something we don't like, so we're going to bring you to the United States, even though you're not a United States citizen. So they don't want to grant you the rights and say the Constitution applies equally across the board, but they do want to apply their laws equally across the board and say, if you do something wrong, if you publish something that embarrasses us, well, then, you know, we're going to hold you accountable no matter where you live, no matter where you're at. And that's the insane part. So just want to shout that out, because it is already past midnight in the UK as I'm recording this. And probably by the time I'm waking up tomorrow, there might be a decision on Julian Assange. So I know that I'm going to get some flack. There's always people, commenters like, Julian Assange is limited hangout. He was in this cult in Australia. But I rarely see anybody put any evidence for that, because even if Assange, or you argue Snowden, which there's questions about their past for sure. There's questions about how come WikiLeaks hasn't really exposed Israel and some other situations, although they have in some instances. But overall, even if you think Assange is a plant or a limited hangout or whatever, or, you know, an agent, and you think the same thing about Snowden, then it doesn't really matter, because what they're doing, let's say the whole thing is a fabrication, and they're just using Assange as basically a prop with which to tear down the First Amendment. That's still not good for people. Do you understand? Like, even if he's an actor and the whole thing's a charade and he's just chilling, sipping martinis while they pretend like he's in prison, which I don't believe, it's still going to be bad for you and me. So it doesn't matter. You know, it really ultimately doesn't matter. I'm not saying you shouldn't look up to anybody as a savior. That's how you stop yourself from looking like a fool. Stop looking for saviors and you'll be okay. But if you just look at the information, because I don't idolize or worship Assange, but I do appreciate the work that WikiLeaks has done, the information that has been released, even if, let's say, they could have released more information, or people believe that they're a honeypot for Israel or something like that. Maybe those things are true. But even with what has been released, has been valuable, and it has changed the world. And now they're trying to go after him for 175 years, the same way they went after Ross Ulbricht for creating the Silk Road and creating an opportunity for people to exchange economically without government money. And they don't like that. They specifically said in the court case, when it came to Ross Ulbricht in 2013, I was at his court case in New York, the judge specifically said, I'm going to sentence you to 3 life sentences to make sure that nobody ever dares take up the flag again. And that's what this is about. It's about sending a message. They wanted to send a message to Ross. And this judge, if she does decide, he or she does decide to extradite him, and if they do try him, because he won't get a fair trial in the US, it is about sending a message to you and to me to shut the fuck up and stop revealing truth. So that's what's more important than arguing about whether or not you know, Assange is a plant or something like that. I mean, those are fun for conspiracy days and going down the rabbit hole or whatever. But ultimately, to me, it's like, why don't we focus on the bigger picture? Just like in the beginning, I was saying lots of people were getting sort of lost in the weeds with COVID instead of focusing on the fact that the tyranny is coming no matter what. So we can argue all day about whether viruses exist or if, you know, it came from Wuhan or this or that theory. But meanwhile, people are still getting screwed over by the government. The government's still growing. Things are still getting more tyrannical, and that's not going anywhere. So I just want to point that little tidbit out. Let's go ahead now and jump into my top reports, most important reports of 2020. And this is posted at theconsciousresistance.com, which is where all of my posts are posted. And we're going to cover, I mean, I'm just going to briefly list through this, because if I covered all of these for the next hour, it would be more than an hour show. And unlike my buddy Ryan of Last American Vagabond, I do not like doing super long podcasts. That's just not my style. So we're going to keep it chill. We're going to keep it short and sweet. So let's start with, let me just start opening up a few. And if you look at this list, guys, I do have some stars next to certain ones. And that's just because I think that they are extremely extra, extra important. You know, they're all important. These are the top 30 out of everything I put together last year, which is a whole lot of work in general. But these ones, I think, really, really shine above the rest. And are, I hope that you will take the time. I know it's the end of the weekend, but if you feel like staying up tonight or sometime this week, set aside time to go through this list of articles and videos that I put together and just absorb all that we went through in 2020, because it really is pretty insane. Okay, so the first one we're going to start with is that earlier in the year in January, some of you might remember this, there was leaks from the company Cambridge Analytica. And you might know that Cambridge Analytica was the company that was involved with mining Facebook for the Trump campaign. Steve Bannon was involved in this. And this is basically what a lot of the QAnoners don't realize, is that they used Cambridge Analytica to basically gather profiles and data on people so that they could learn how to manipulate you, how to make you maybe buy into a savior complex or whatever they want. The point is that their Cambridge Analytica is just one of many companies that have access to social media data and so much data that we, in many ways, have voluntarily, you know, given these people. So, you know, we have to really think about it. But this article that I wrote back in January 7, 2020 says that the leaks revealed a level of manipulation that's on a global level. So on New Year's Day 2020, Twitter account Hindsight Files began posting documents from the data firm Cambridge Analytica, which exposed the extensive infrastructure that they use to manipulate voters on a global scale. 100,000 documents are said to be released in the coming months, and they show activity in 68 countries, Cambridge Analytica all around the world, and using this to manipulate and influence elections all around the world. And the documents come from Brittany Kaiser, a former employee of Cambridge Analytica, who turned whistleblower and is part of a documentary called The Great Hack. And basically, like I said, read the article. I don't want to spend too long on each of them, but just let me give you this brief one. Documents provide more details on the relationship, including using psychographics to play on voters' hopes and fears. Psychographics is a methodology which focuses on consumers' psychological attributes. Research firms attempt to develop a psychographic profile on various segments of the population by studying personality, opinions, interests, attitudes, values, and behaviors. My point is that they have learned how to specifically target you. And it's not just like, oh, you went out and you bought some nail polish and then Facebook shows you an ad about that. That's one level of this. But guys, it's much deeper than that. It is much, much deeper than that. These people, not even just Cambridge Analytica, but the predator class and all the tools that they use and that they have been using for generations, they know how to manipulate our psychology. They know how to make us go this way. They know how to trigger you this way. And so that's why it's all important to be rooted in who you are, rooted in yourself, know where you come from, know your values, your principles, and make sure that your relationships in your life is in line with those values and principles so that you can continue to grow as a person. That is what it's about. Stay rooted in yourself so that these crazy people cannot just switch you one way. You know, one season you're like, oh, I guess I'm a Democrat, or I guess I'm a Republican, or I'm going to fall for this guy, I'm going to fall for this thing, I'm going to be angry at this thing, I'm going to be sad about this thing. They're manipulating your minds. They're fucking with you. Sorry to say. Another one. And again, all these articles are just listed at theconsciousresistance.com. This is probably one of the biggest stories and another big hole in this whole myth that Trump is a good guy. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, one of their investigators spoke to the United Nations Security Council. This is way back in January. Since this time, guys, I've done a few update videos. Specifically, I recommend The Gray Zone, thegrayzone.com, Aaron Mate, and a few other journalists. They are more left-leaning, but they do great journalistic work. So if you care about journalism, then give them a look, because they have been one of the only outlets that have been covering on this. And I believe Aaron Mate actually got to go speak at the United Nations. And so essentially what happened, guys, is since 2013, during the Obama years and into the Trump years, they have been trying to get rid of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. I don't think he's a hero. I don't think he's a great guy or anything like that. He's a politician. As far as I'm concerned, they're all tyrants. But there's also a lot of lies and propaganda coming from the US and the Western world. Namely, they have staged or faked a number of gas attacks and blamed them on him. And several of them over the last couple of years have been exposed as lies. And this one specifically, the claim of a gas attack in April 2018, continues to be exposed as various whistleblowers for the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons basically have come out and said that people have tried to suppress evidence and that the evidence they had behind closed doors contradicted the final report of the OPCW, which claimed that there was evidence that Assad used chemical weapons. So if what I'm saying is totally foreign to you and I'm speaking a different language, then guys, I recommend you check this out, because many of us understand 9/11, Oklahoma City bombing, things like this. But guys, this is a situation where there is clear evidence of lying, of fraud. And we have numerous whistleblowers coming out and testifying. We have people from the organization that have that helped it cover up initially coming out and speaking about it and just exposing it. And I mean, we don't even have that kind of hard evidence when it comes to 9/11. So I just want to say, if you don't know much about this, guys, please do look into the situation, because this is another clear cut example of a false flag and the media ignoring it, lying about it. And then in this case, Donald Trump responding by dropping, you know, all kinds of bombs on Syria based on a lie, based on a false flag attack that he either was promoting, because he did promote, we need to defend the United States, blah, blah, whatever. We need to go out there. It's horrible that they gassed these kids or whatever. So he promoted the lie and then he bombed people on that lie. So if you don't know much about that, the Syria situation, it's still developing. Again, I recommend checking out thegrayzone.com, thegrayzone.com. Here's another really important one. Way back in February, most of you, I hope, have seen it. If not, here's your homework for tonight. I put out a documentary called The 5G Trojan Horse. And I want to tell you guys this, because, you know, 5G comes up and people these days, they bring it up, COVID. But I want to remind you that back in January, again, this is an article that I wrote for The Mind Unleashed in January 17th, 2020. In January 25th last year, activists from all around the world, 150 plus cities united to stand up against 5G technology. And this is, of course, before COVID was even a thing. And look at this, crowds gathering, nobody's sick, right? And this was the second global day of protest against 5G. And people were calling attention to the millions of 5G antennas on Earth, the call for the, you know, satellites in space, and all the different forms of 5G, and not only 5G, but electromagnetic frequencies, which are affecting our bodies. And this movement was growing. It was getting lots of attention. We had people in Australia, Belgium, Bermuda, Canada, Croatia, Cyprus, Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Kenya, Malta, Norway, Netherlands, New Zealand, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, Slovenia, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and the US, all coming together to push back against 5G. It was a growing global international movement. And at that time is when I released this documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse, which I think is the best documentary available. And I'm saying that obviously because I'm biased, it's my documentary, but because I made it with very specific people in mind. I didn't make it with conspiracy theorists in mind. Sorry, guys. I made it with your friends and family in mind. I made it with your, you know, your mom who thinks you're crazy or your buddies who think you're crazy in mind, because it's not a conspiracy documentary. It is 100% fact-based, science-based, and documented through plenty of evidence that EMFs, existing EMFs, do cause harm to humans and to the planet and will continue to cause harm, and that we are going to continue to face harm from this. So my point here is to say, I put this documentary out trying to show factual evidence about the concerns about 5G. You can see my entire script here. You know, I know people talk about other documentaries, the 5G apocalypse. In my view, those are fear mongering. Those are not, that your normie friends aren't going to watch a documentary called the 5G apocalypse. Maybe they'll watch one that's fact-based and is giving it to them in a way that it is coherent and not fear-based. So I put out this documentary. If you haven't seen it, I recommend checking it out. It's available on BitChute. It's available on Library. It's available on Vimeo. You can purchase the director's cut, which is just a little bit longer if you want to own it yourself. And also, if you just want to rip it from wherever, I don't care. Just upload it, re-upload it. Before YouTube deleted us, we had about 120,000 views on this documentary, and probably more in other places. But the reason I bring all that up is just because, look, 5G, there was growing awareness about this. My documentary, other documentaries, people fighting against 5G around the world. And then what happened? COVID happened. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to just talk about COVID-19 and 5G. And then what did the media do? Oh, they were happy to step right in and to say, look at these crazy people talking about 5G and COVID-19. Ha, 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 ha. Everybody thinks, everybody thinks it's 5G and COVID, so let's all just laugh about it. And what happens now, as after the tainting of the poisoning the well and the tainting the message? So you go up to someone and you say, hey guys, have you heard any of these concerns about 5G? Oh, let me guess, you think COVID causes, 5G causes COVID. That's why they put out disinformation. And you can continue to hang on to that theory, guys, 1 year later with little evidence. And not to get off on tangents, but while I'm at it, let me just go ahead and put the blame, because, I'm just going to keep it real. The blame, the large part of this blame, beyond you guys just repeating it and not actually thinking deep and questioning and actually looking into the evidence that just doesn't prove that 5G is causing COVID. Yes, EMFs and 5G can cause harm. I guess I have to repeat this every time. Yes, there are pneumonia-like radiation symptoms. Yes, yes, all those things. But you can't just make leaps when there's not hard evidence. But I put the blame on Dana Ashley. Dana Ashley, some of you may know, a content creator from YouTube. I don't know where she's at these days. And we had a conversation throughout last year. But she put out a video that went super viral, over 500,000 views, probably up to 1 million views before it got taken down. And then a lot of simple, low-level thinkers were like, oh, look, it got censored. That must mean it's true. That's not how it works, guys. It's not logic. Sometimes bad shit gets censored. Sometimes good stuff gets censored. Not all mainstream's a lie. Not all the alternatives is true. I hate that I have to repeat these things, but I see it so much in the comments that some people think this way. But Dana Ashley put out this video, and she really did get so many people thinking that this is what the case. And she did it with very little evidence. You just kind of repeating, putting clips together, well edited, whatever. There's so many crappy videos out there. And then Thomas Cowan, which I know that many of you respect him in other ways, and I'm not going to try to discount his work in other areas. But in the beginning of the COVID crisis, there was a video of Dr. Thomas Cowan giving a short speech. And at the end of it, he addressed, oh, do you guys want me to talk about this whole COVID thing? And then he tries to insinuate that there was towers in Wuhan, and there's a lot of EMFs around there. And oh, that's not a coincidence. So he sort of implied that it had something to do with 5G and EMFs. And he kept saying that for a few months. I've never seen any evidence for this as well. I think the person who has the best evidence regarding the harms of 5G or EMFs in general is Arthur Furstenberg and his book, The Invisible Rainbow. But even that, I don't think is completely 100% factual and fact-based. Even that has some speculation in that. So think for yourself. If you think I'm full of shit, that's cool. That means you're thinking for yourself. But at least listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what these other people are saying. And then you decide for yourself. I just wanted to get that little rant out, because as somebody who spent over a year and a half, almost 2 years, researching 5G since October 2018, running for mayor to speak against 5G, learning the ins and outs of 5G, making a documentary on 5G. Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating to see people step in and all of a sudden like just muddy the waters and make it much more difficult for people to know what's going on. All right, so this one right here, guys, I wrote this back in April. And I think this is, again, one of my most important pieces. This is not an article as far as news. This is just sort of a blog of my thoughts, right? And it still stands just as relevant as ever. It was called "The Future of a Free Humanity Depends on Our Actions Today." The future of a free humanity depends on our actions today. I could read this whole thing to you, and I hope you will take the time to read it, because in this article, I just try to do a simple job of pointing out all the insanity that we're facing during the whole COVID time. And this was April, right? This is early April, before we had really seen what was happening. And in that time, I listed these things. In the last 4 months since this pandemic, this was again back in April, has swept around the world, we have seen the following. Discussion of immunity passports, certificates, or badges in order to travel or go to work. Door-to-door searches and checkpoints looking for potentially infected people. Discussions of vaccinations for 7 billion people before returning to normal. QR codes to determine an individual's rating and immunity. Contact tracing via smartphones and apps. Beatings of citizens in India. Mass spraying of people with disinfectant. Fever detecting surveillance drones, some of which scold people for being outside. Implementation of biometrics or facial recognition. Increased censorship of information that conflicts with the World Health Organization. And a consistent push in the media for a, quote, new normal. And that was back in April, guys. Now all those things are even more prevalent. And the people who thought I was crazy for talking about it back then, or maybe thought you were crazy for warning about it back then, they're not thinking we're so crazy anymore now, because it's coming out in the open now. I'm going to read you the last three paragraphs here of this article. Please listen closely. We are witnessing another brick in the wall that will entrap the free people of the world in a technocratic state where biometrics, facial recognition, immunity passports, drones flying overhead, and mass censorship are the new normal and the new world order. The tyrants of the world are making their move, and they are using the cover of COVID-19 to implement their vision. The only way we will make it through this precarious situation is to continue to educate our loved ones and community. We cannot simply stay in our woke bubbles and preach to the choir. We appear to have an increasingly limited window to reach the masses, and we must take the opportunity or risk failing to achieve a truly awakened humanity. Please make an honest effort to communicate with your friends, family, and other people you may be interacting with online. Together, we can change the story that is unfolding in front of our eyes. We can create a better world. However, it will not happen without an immense effort and cooperation, the likes of which we have never seen. This is the greatest task of our generation, no matter what your age or date of birth. It's our time to shift the path of humanity and to do what is necessary to protect the coming generations. And I mean that now more than when I wrote that in April, guys. I mean, I hope that people are getting, you know, what's going on and seeing, especially those of you who, I don't know. I don't want to single anybody. I just hope you're all paying attention is all I can say, guys, because this is 2021 now. And wherever you're listening to this, whether you're listening on Spotify or you're watching it on Facebook or you're watching it after I record it, guys, hear those words. The future of a free humanity depends on what you do today. If you sit around and keep eating Cheetos and living in fear and doing nothing, because it's okay to watch YouTube videos all day and watch Catherine Austin Fitz and watch James Corbett and watch Derek Rose and whoever the hell else. But if you don't do anything for yourself, then none of it really matters. Because when you're sitting in a freaking FEMA quarantine camp and you're thinking, man, I'm glad I watched all those YouTube videos. No, you're not going to be thinking that. You're going to be like, damn, I wish I actually got out of their banking system. I wish I became less dependent on them. Man, I wish I started growing my own food. I wish I would have read about what agorism is. I should have read that book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. I should have decided to do anything, to do something to make sure that the people coming after me don't grow up in a shit world where privacy doesn't exist, where liberty doesn't exist, where you're tracked and traced everywhere, where you have to use a QR code to go out and travel, where you have to show your vaccine status to travel. I mean, is that the world you guys want? Because we are literally staring at it right now. It is being built in front of our eyes, and we have a choice: stand by and do nothing, or stand up and fucking fight back. But guess what? Fighting back does not mean voting. I mean, you can choose that if you want. Everybody chooses their own path. But fighting does not inherently mean playing politics or being a violent individual, going out, let's overthrow the government with our weapons, which will get smashed down with drone bombs. No, fighting also means claiming your sovereignty, claiming your individual power and reconnecting to the planet, getting to grow your own food, getting to learn more skills, using freedomcells.org to connect to other local people and building in your community, not being dependent on their systems, not using their banks, not using their currencies, not putting your children in their education propaganda, you know, institutions. And I know that these aren't simple, easy things to do. Like I'm not sitting here just shouting these things at you and expecting you guys to be able to just flip a switch and it happens. But if you don't start taking steps now, my friends, it's not going to happen. I've spent the last 10 years living this way, and haven't used a bank in over 12 years. I have no relationship with the IRS for the last 10 years. And I don't think that, despite the difficulties, I know that this is what's better for me. I know that I'd rather have some struggles and live my life in line with my values than just do what's easy. And I get it. Look, I don't have any kids. Some of you got kids, you got 401ks, you got mortgages, you got debt and all kinds of things. That's fine. But stop thinking in terms of normalcy. Stop thinking that things are going to go back to normal in a couple of months, or, you know, most of my audience, you guys know it's not going to go back to normal, even if you get the vaccine. They've already said that. But this isn't going to go away. We are headed towards some kind of climax. We are reaching a tipping point, and it's either going to be defined by the actions we take today in this moment or the actions that we choose not to take. So if we don't take any action, then nothing's going to change. I mean, it'll change the way they want it to change, the Great Reset. But if we don't create the people's reset, create our own greater reset, then guys, we are simply just a passenger and on their ship. And I want to be more than just a silent passenger on somebody else's ship. I want to control and direct the way my life goes. And I hope you guys too do as well. Let's continue looking at some of these articles. Again, this is Derek Brose with the Conscious Resistance Network, episode 122. We're looking at the good and the bad of 2020. Let me just kind of go through here. Again, I'm only going to pull out a few of them, but I really recommend reading all of this because I'll just throw a couple headlines. Back in 2020, 40 different privacy groups warned that facial recognition is threatening democracy. Also, the U.S. government officially began funding the study of geoengineering. And I say officially in quotes, right? Because many of us know that they have been secretly running geoengineering and weather modification programs for decades. And so that also began officially, though, publicly in 2020. Another one I wrote way back in the beginning in April, there was reports, new reports indicating that the US and China collaborated on coronavirus research prior to the COVID-19 outbreak. And this is important because we were told that's a conspiracy theory, the idea that the US or China may have actually funded or created some sort of virus or some sort of pathogen. And again, I know those of you who buy into this idea that there's no viruses or whatever, you're going to just, this story doesn't even make sense to you. But this is why I don't really fully buy into that. You know, I don't want to get sidetracked again, but if you ask me germ theory, terrain theory, guys, it's not one or the other. I know some of you are pissed off about my interview with Dr. Mercola, but it's not one or the other. You can be affected by external entities, what do you call them, germs, pathogens, whatever, but also your terrain does matter too. Perhaps the best of both worlds. Maybe it's not black and white, one or the other. Either way, we know for a fact that the US government in Fort Detrick and other places has been funding bio warfare for decades. So you either have to believe that the US government is pretending to spend millions of dollars, billions of dollars funding bio warfare, germ warfare, or they exist. And this is potentially something they created. That doesn't mean they intended to create something that was going to kill everybody, because I'll see some people say, well, if this was planned or engineered, they sure did a shitty job. But maybe that wasn't the goal. Maybe the goal wasn't to wipe out everybody. Maybe the goal was to eliminate people with comorbidities, people who are already sick and elderly, and affect other people. Because the truth is, guys, for all the sort of discounting out there in the conspiracy realm that COVID's completely fake, there are people, and I know some, who have been affected by COVID and who have, and nurses who don't buy into all the drama, but have said, hey, I did get something and it was rough and it's still affecting me. I don't feel the same afterwards. I can't discount those experiences. So you either have to believe all these different people are lying, or you can accept that the government is lying, but that it's not all fake. It's not everything's fake, guys. You guys in the conspiracy movement who say everything's fake, you ruin everything. New reports indicate US and China collaborated on coronavirus research prior to COVID-19 outbreak. That's really all I need to say about this. The article goes much, much deeper into this, and I hope you will read these articles. But that's it. We know for a fact they were working on coronavirus research involving bats, short 1,000 miles away from where this outbreak allegedly took place. Now, of course, since that time, we have heard things that COVID was spreading way sooner than we're told. But my point is here, even if you think COVID is just the flu, which there's definitely good evidence that what we're experiencing is flu combined with something else. The facts are that they were involved in this engineering. And part of exposing COVID-19 is exposing your normie friends to the fact that the US government experiments on this type of research. Because if they don't know this research exists, then they will continue to discount these things and call them all fake news. Now, another big thing that we did in 2020, one thing that I'm really proud of, is that me and James Corbett and a few other people, we kind of collectively came and launched Expose Bill Gates, the Expose Bill Gates International Day of Action, what we're also now calling Cancel Bill Gates, because Twitter started blocking that hashtag and we really couldn't get it out there to too many people after that. But this officially launched in June 2020, again, me, James Corbett, and others. And we called for action days all around the world. And it was really cool. We got pictures from people organizing in Mexico, in the US, Australia, across Europe. And basically, James did his four-part documentary series, which is another epic part of 2020. And I did my own long-form investigation, three parts investigation. Part one, the whole investigation was called Bill Gates' Web of Dark Money and Influence. Part one was called Philanthropic Narrative Shaping. Part two is called the COVID-19 Operation. Part three is called Health Surveillance, Event 201, and the Rockefeller Connection. I recommend reading every single one of these watching James's documentary, of course. But I will say I covered things in these articles that James didn't cover in his documentary. So watch his documentary, read these articles, do whatever you prefer. But I will say, guys, we in 2020, despite all the pushback and Bill Gates trying to say everybody who is talking about this is just a conspiracy theorist, we did expose Bill Gates in 2020, and we will continue to expose Bill Gates, and not just Bill Gates, but Klaus Schwab, Donald Trump, with all the technocrats, Elon Musk. I'm still not sure where to stand on him and what to think about him, but the point is we will continue to expose these people into the next year and beyond, and it's a part of what we're doing. 2021 is going to continue the tradition of exposing Bill Gates. It's going to continue the tradition of exposing Klaus Schwab and exposing all of these crazy fuckers. That's all I'm going to say. And excuse the language for those of you who are listening with your kids near me. I just got to keep it real. And it's hard not to talk about Bill Gates and cuss every now and then. I don't know if you guys, some of you on Facebook saw, we had a, on our Christmas day, we had a friends miss get together here in Mexico, and we had a Bill Gates pinata. It was a pinata with a Bill Gates face on it and a mask on. And we had fun beating the shit out of that. Not that I condone violence. I'm just saying every now and then it's healthy to get it out. All right, moving on. This one was another big story I did that was super controversial. And I saw so many Trumpers reject this. At one point, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did share this on his social media. But then I think he even got a little bit scared of the pushback from the Trump crowd and decided he should not, he should not share it. And so he deleted it off his social media account, off Instagram. But this one is called Vaccine Bait and Switch. As millions are pulled from the World Health Organization, Trump gives billions to the Gates founded and funded Gavi, the Global Vaccine Alliance. And that's exactly what it talked, what it's about. I wrote this in July. So after Trump spent months saying, we're going to defund the World Health Organization, which by the way, guys, it didn't happen. That doesn't happen until April, 2021. This is another thing I was telling people is like, it gives him a chance to say, look, I'm fighting against the globalists. We're defunding the World Health Organization, but it's going to take a year for that to happen. And by that point, he might not be in office. And increasingly, it appears Trump is not going to be in office by April, 2021. So that promise was just an empty promise. Nothing happened. It doesn't go anywhere. And then either way, even if he did do that, he turns around and gives even more money to Gavi, the Global Vaccine Alliance, which is founded by and funded through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And to add to that, guys, the stimulus bill, quote unquote stimulus bill, that also includes billions of dollars to Gavi. So throughout this entire 2020, the Trump administration has been giving billions of dollars to the organization run by Bill and Melinda Gates, which is specifically focused on spreading vaccines all around the world. And let's just say it, their eugenics agenda. So So $8.8 billion in US was sent to Gavi. And then they received another $5 million donation from the Rockefeller Foundation. And then also the US gave them $1.16 billion. And I went to the deep lengths to show this, guys. Yes, it came through the US aid, but the US aid is under the State Department. The State Department is under the White House. So it came from the Trump administration. Trump even did this short little video telling how great and happy he was to be giving money to Gavi and how great Gavi is. And you see this hashtag, vaccines work. No, that's not 10D chess or whatever, guys. That's Trump shilling for the vaccines. And as my other articles show, that he also then launched Operation Warp Speed, which is, of course, was ran by and still is run by Moncef Slaoui, who's a former executive for GlaxoSmithKline, formerly sitting on the board of Moderna. Moderna's making the vaccines. Do you see the connections? Trump is in bed with Big Pharma and with the Gates Foundation. Even if on paper, you know, in front of the cameras, he keeps his distance. You know, all those people who are angry about Fauci and concerned about Fauci, how come Trump never got rid of Fauci? He seems to have no problem firing people. Why didn't he get rid of the guy who's pushing the masks and the mandates? Makes you think. This is another one I wrote about the Great Reset to introduce people to this in the written form, July 31st, 2020. I called this COVID-19, the Great Reset and the New Normal. And if you need to explain to friends what the hell we're witnessing and how this works and what the Great Reset is, I recommend this article because I just outline it, what they're calling for, what their plans are, and how what they've been calling for through the World Economic Forum is what we're starting to see in the world. And it's going to become more and more prevalent in 2021. Because as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, the greaterreset.org, that is happening January 25th through the 29th. Again, the greaterreset.org, that's how we push back against the Great Reset. We're going to be doing that at the exact same time as the World Economic Forum is meeting for the Great Reset. So while they're sitting there in their little, I mean, they're supposed to be in Switzerland. Supposedly, they're doing it digital. We'll see. But while they're sitting there together brainstorming about how they're going to control and dominate and manipulate the world, we're going to be sitting together and people are going to be watching all around the world and we're going to be organizing and showing people that this is how we push back. This is how we push back. And so that's what you need to focus on. Get educated about the Great Reset, the new normal, and their push. But also, let's focus on the solutions. 2021, guys, you're going to see me talk less and less about the problems, and you're going to hear me talk more and more about solutions. I will continue to do my reporting. I will continue to do investigations and exposés. In fact, I have probably one of my biggest interviews ever tomorrow night. I'll tell you guys more about that by the end of the show. Somebody remind me, tell you what I have going on tomorrow. But I want to focus on solutions more than ever because now it's like I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. I could go another 10 years and just talk to you guys about the problems, and maybe I'd make money, or I'd get to travel, or I'd get views and clicks. But shit, the world's going to hell, and I need solutions, and you need solutions, and we need solutions, and I want the future generations to have solutions. So rather than just talking about the freaking problems all the damn time, let's talk about some of the solutions. This is my mini documentary I put out in August called The Great Reset. Where do we go from here? And it's about 10 minutes long. And again, it's a good way to introduce people to these concepts. It's similar to my article I was just showing you, but it's in video form. Some of you I know aren't readers, you're watchers. So I recommend consuming both, but you have a choice. That's, I've been fighting and pushing back against The Great Reset since the very beginning, since June when they first announced it. And I'm so glad to see that here in January 2021, so many more people are awake to this crap and can see where we're headed. Because I feel like in the spring, there weren't so many people paying attention. You know, it's good to see we're moving. That's all I'll say. Another article here. This is actually a set. Let me see. This is a two-part article, two-part series that I put together for The Last American Vagabond. And I talked about this with Ryan yesterday on his show. I still think this is one of the most important things I did. Obviously, these are my most important reports. This one was called Multiple Studies Predicted Governments Become Authoritarian in Response to Pandemics. The second part of it is called The Rise of Authoritarianism from Parasite Stress Theory to Lockstep. These two articles go together, guys. And the reason these are important, the reason you need to understand this is because there's this concept, the scientific theory called parasite stress theory. And parasite stress theory has been proven in study after study. Like they have the clear evidence showing that human beings, you and I, or most of us, that when we are facing a threat, especially an invisible threat, that we react in fear. But what they showed specifically with parasite stress theory is that this is particularly unique with pathogens. So again, if you don't believe viruses exist or germs exist and whatever, but the point is that it is particularly unique to the threat of pathogens. So when you believe that there's a pathogen that could make you sick or could kill you, then you're more likely to become obedient, to prefer conformity from other people. You know, you got to follow the rituals like the masks. It very much says that. And governments tend to become more authoritarian. There are numerous studies over the last 30 years showing this. And at least one of the researchers I found does have a connection to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I'm not saying this is a plot by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation per se, although we have other circumstantial evidence. What I am saying is that, guys, they know our psychology. Just like I was talking about Cambridge Analytica earlier, they know how to drive us into fear, how to push us this way or that way. And they recognize that the threat of a pathogen, of a virus, of germs is particularly unique. They didn't. They tested this and they ran studies against the threat of like economic collapse and food shortages and things like that. But when it came to the threat of pathogens, people became more obedient than ever. People preferred conformity more than ever. People allowed governments to become authoritarian. This is documented evidence. And you want to tell me these people weren't aware of this? I highly, highly doubt that. One other point on these two studies, again, these are a pair of articles. You can find them at theconsciousresistance.com on my list of my top 30 reports of 2020, is the fact that even if the virus or the spread, the threat of this virus or pathogen isn't real, they even say this, they said, even if the threat isn't real, if it's imagined, it has the same effect. And so you really have to put that into the context of COVID-19 because, look, let's put aside our debates for a moment about whether it's real or it's just exaggerated. The point is, we know that even if it's not as bad as they claim, people will still prefer conformity, they will be obedient, and they will allow authoritarian governments. And this is exactly what the Rockefeller document that talked about the lockstep scenario described, the world becoming more authoritarian, the world becoming more obedient, and the authoritarian governments were the ones that thrive. This is why you see the World Health Organization praising the way that China handled this, because they're looking at the authoritarian model as the model for the rest of the world. So we really need to understand that, guys. They have our psychology down to a T. So if you didn't get a chance to check these articles, I wrote them at the end of August. Please do go check them out. And I want to say shout out to Heath Diane, Keith K. Diane. Thank you for sharing the links. I see you over there. I appreciate that. You're staying on top of it. And again, all the articles, all the links can be found at theconsciousresistance.com. So yeah, that's Parasite Stress Theory. Please check that out. Another really good one I think I wrote for The Last American Vagabond. This is a pretty long article. This is definitely more of my speculation. This is more of my analysis because I don't have all the hard facts for that. You know, that's what journalists should do is acknowledge to the audience when we don't have hard facts, but just let you know there's a little bit of speculation. There's a little bit of my opinion here, but it's based on facts and it's my interpretation. So you can decide if you agree or not. But this one is called The Establishment's Plan to Divide part two, COVID-19, election 2020, and the Great Reset. This is part two of an article I wrote 4 years ago in November 2016 when Donald Trump got elected. And I first called it out that his role was going to be the great divider. He was going to divide the people. He was going to use this fake news meme by calling out the corporate media and trying to look good. But actually what happened is that fake news meme then got directed at alternative media. And we then ended up being censored and silenced over and over and over throughout the Trump years. And this article shows that we are still kind of in the midst of what I described in this article, and what I described in my other documentary, The Darkest Winter. You've heard this phrase from Joe Biden. You've heard it in the media, the darkest winter, just like the dark winter, just like new normal. We're going to a very dangerous winter. They're pushing us into this area. And here we sit, January 3rd, 2021. There's people who are still holding on hopes that Trump's still going to be president on Wednesday because there's some super secret plan. The Republicans are going to somehow defeat their outnumbered enemy, the Democrats. I don't buy it, guys. I don't think anything's happened on Wednesday. And so people are still holding out hope that on January 20th, Trump's going to be president or something. Others are concerned he might declare martial law. And I don't know. I think we have to be aware, and that's what I was trying to write in these articles here, to be prepared for anything, because they've simulated the fact that after the election, there could be blackouts. They've simulated the fact that there could be post-election chaos. And there's all these Trump supporters out there that sure seem supportive of the idea of Trump declaring martial law or the invoking the Insurrection Act to stop the pedophile Democrats, because these people aren't awake, but they think they're awake, and they think that the enemy is only the left wing. They don't realize that the right wing is a part of it too. And so they're in one of these layers of deception that I often talk about. There's at least five or six or seven layers of deception. And one of them is thinking that you're awake, but you're still falling for the two-party system. And, you know, that's what a lot of people are doing. So they don't understand that they're actually calling for their own enslavement. And they're literally helping create the police state that many of us have been fighting for a long time. I want to highlight this comment from Gail Wells. She says, that's why Trump could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue. He was all in with the predators. And you guys remember that statement. Trump did say that I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and they'd still support me. They'd still vote for me. And that's it. I mean, that's the thing, is he knows how much of a cult that they created through QAnon and through the Cambridge Analytica and through Steve Bannon. They studied the Trump crowd and they knew how to get them incited and how to work them. And they continue to do that. But I highly recommend checking out this article if you want to understand what's happening right now. And then, of course, checking out The Darkest Winter documentary as well, because it's got lots of relevant information that you're going to want to get plugged into. And I want to say shout out to Becca, who made this documentary, The Darkest Winter, as well as my most recent one, The PCR Deception, which I know some of you guys have seen. And I'm really thankful to everybody who's been sharing it out there. It's super important. I tried to do the main three mini documentaries I did this year focused on COVID were the and guys, if you come to theconsciousresistance.com, you click on Docs right here. This is my documentaries page. You can find my long form documentaries and my shorter mini docs. So this year we did The PCR Deception, The Darkest Winter, and The Great Reset. And then I also have my Pyramid of Power series coming this year. And of course, I released my 5G Trojan Horse documentary in 2020. Going back further, you can find my Finders documentary, my Jeffrey Epstein documentary, my Surveillance State documentary, The Conscious Resistance documentary. You guys should check this out if you've never seen this. And in some of my older works on 9/11, as well as the Apache stronghold and indigenous struggles. So if you're curious about all my work as far as documentaries, you can go there and check that out. But yeah, so that is what I've been doing this year. Those are just a few of the 30 reports that I listed here. One other one that I will mention, because I know that the update's coming soon. It's actually coming this week, guys. Some of you know that I covered the fluoride trial in 2020. It was a historic, huge trial that none of the mainstream covered at all. I think I was probably the only independent journalist that covered it as well. Unfortunately, not many people wanted to talk about it for one reason or another, even though we've been fighting against getting fluoride out of the water for years. A judge ordered, well, let me just kind of pause here. This was the last article I wrote about the fluoride trial. The fluoride trial started in mid-summer, and then it came to a brief conclusion, temporary conclusion, in late August, mid-August, as the judge basically said that the Fluoride Action Network, which were the people who sued the EPA saying that they were violating the Toxic Substance Abuse Act by letting fluoride be in the water, the judge basically said, even though you guys have presented lots of evidence, I'm not going to rule on this yet. And he basically postponed the ruling, giving the EPA the chance to revisit the petition from the Fluoride Action Network and to see if they wanted to change their mind, which would basically mean that fluoride would have to be banned from the water in the US, or that they would have to greatly reduce the amount. However, this got postponed to December. December came and it got postponed again. And the EPA is basically saying they're not going to reconsider the petition, which means they're saying, like, even though the Florida Action Network brought all kinds of evidence. And again, I recommend reading my 3 or 4 articles I put together about the fluoride trial, because there's so much evidence, guys. If you get called a conspiracy theorist for talking about fluoride in the water, go read these articles, share the links to the experts, the actual experts who are talking about neurological damage from fluoride, lower IQ points, affecting pregnant mothers, affecting kids, affecting your liver. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It's something I feel very passionate about, and I was happy to be reporting on it. But let me tell you the latest update, guys. January 6th, so probably the same day as the whole Trump thing. It's either January 6th or 7th. I'll post about this later. Is going to be the next hearing where we are going to find out what the judge is going to rule. Basically, the EPA is going to come back and say, well, we still don't think they have enough evidence. And Fluoride Action Network's going to say, well, we still think we have enough evidence. And the judge is going to be forced to rule whether or not he thinks that they have presented enough evidence to show that the EPA is ignoring violations of the Toxic Substance Abuse Act, which I think they have more than enough evidence. So if this judge is fair and just, which is very difficult in our legal system these days, I don't have much faith in it, but if he is, then the EPA is going to lose this and the Fluoride Action Network is going to win, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And this could literally change a lot of things in our country, in the United States, and maybe make it easier for other countries and you know, some of the states in the United States to push back against this. So yeah, guys, those are my top 30, some of my top 30 stories of 2020. I have 2 other points that I want to make, and then we are going to wrap up for the evening. First off, though, I just want to give a big shout out again. I guess let me pause for a moment, guys, and say thank you. Look, I know that sometimes on social media, particularly on Facebook, I can be a dick. I know that I have my limits of how much I can take from just being bombarded. And I'm not here to make excuses, but I am here to say that in my heart of hearts, my intentions is to reach you guys, to connect with you. When I woke up in late 2009 and early 2010, the first thing I thought is, okay, if all this crazy shit's going on, I need to find more people. I started printing out flyers. I started organizing meetings. I started just filming cops and going to the Federal Reserve. I just felt so desperate to find and connect to people. And sometimes I think I forget about that. I forget that my goal has always been to find people and to help and to work together. And so even if we disagree, even if I think you're completely delusional and you think Trump's a good guy, I still respect you, even though it doesn't always come out that way. I want you to know that. And I know most of the people who are probably hearing that have already blocked me or have already left. But I also want to say, I believe in blunt compassion. I believe in sometimes you just got to smash things with a hammer and say, here's the fucking truth, take it or leave it. And that offends people. So I appreciate everybody who can come to my channel, wherever you watch DLive, Float, BitChute, Library, Hive, Minds, Facebook, what at Rockfin. I appreciate everybody who does come to my content and consumes it and understands what my goals are. The Conscious Resistance, we're now in our 8th year of being around. My work has been around for 10 years, but I started the Conscious Resistance in 2012. Late 2013. We've now been doing this for 8 years. And the message of the Conscious Resistance is to empower ourselves emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, mentally, and to expose the horrible things about the world that are going on. It's not about hiding from the darkness, and it's also not about forgetting our spiritual or internal world. So if you connect to your internal self, and if you connect to the Mother Earth through praying to Christ or Allah or Buddha or whoever, that's fine. I'm not here to change anybody's personal beliefs, but I do say connect to yourself, get to know yourself, get to know the Creator, get to know who you are, because this is as much a spiritual battle as much as it is a physical battle. And yet, at the same time, I see some of the spiritual types who say, don't talk about negative things. You know, you're going to manifest the bad. Just meditate, just pray. And I even see some of the Christians like, well, just trust Jesus. It's all going to, you know, everything's okay. Don't worry about the bad things. And I don't agree with that, guys. I think that's very disempowering. I believe that the Creator that created me and breathed life into all of us put us here to make change, to take full, you know, control of our lives and to organize our affairs, not to sit around and wait for QAnon or Donald Trump or even Jesus Christ to come back and save us. And I know that might offend some of you, but I think that that's what we're here for. We are here to prove ourselves and to grow. And yes, I think there is something better. And I think the Creator put us here to see what we can manifest. So I just wanted to say that with all my heart and mind, all my intentions, I do believe that, you know, it's up to us to decide, as I said earlier, what kind of world are we going to leave for the coming generations? I take inspiration from my ancestors, from my indigenous ancestors, who I've never got to meet, and from the disconnection I have from my indigenous blood and my indigenous ways. And I know that they were fighting for me. They were saying, we have to fight for the 7 generations. And for my ancestor, I am the 7th generation. And I think about the people that are coming after me and who's going to be the seventh generation that I'm never going to meet. And what kind of world are we leaving for them, guys? That's what matters most. Are we leaving them an empowered world where they can thrive and survive into the future without fear of, you know, having to show papers every time they travel or people spying on everything they do? If we do nothing, our nieces, nephews, and loved ones and children are not going to know what privacy means, are not going to know what liberty means, are not going to know what being just a free human being means. They're not going to know anything other than following orders and this collectivist worldview that the only thing that matters is what's good for the whole. So if that means I have to erase your rights because it's good for the rest of us, then so be it. That's not the world I want, guys. I want to work towards individual empowerment for collective liberation. I do want to free the collective and the whole, but I don't want to do it by erasing you or erasing me. So we together, as beautiful, powerful, empowered individuals, have the potential to ignite this year, make 2021 be the best year ever. Because for me, 2020 was the best year ever. Despite all the insanity in the world, I put out the 5G Trojan Horse documentary. I released my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. I released my book, The Conscious Resistance Trilogy. I released How to Opt Out in Spanish. I got to travel to Virginia to report on the Second Amendment gun rallies. I got to do so many great things, come down to Mexico, build community, see the Freedom Cell Network grow more than ever. I've been talking about Freedom Cells for 5 years and most of you never wanted to hear it. And now we have 9,000 members around the world who are seeking solutions and who are coming together, guys. Be a part of the solutions. Don't sit on the sidelines. Take action. Get involved. Make 2021 be the time that we really fight for the seven generations. All right, guys, I want to show you a couple of posts I made on social media, and then I'll get out of here for the evening. These are just some things I made today. One of them is about crypto. I made a post about crypto. I don't talk much about crypto, guys, because I've done some videos. Some of you might have seen I did a few interviews with James Corbett a while back. Me and James talked about the Bitcoin PSYOP and tried to explain to people how Bitcoin and blockchain are not all created equal. Just because you hear the World Economic Forum talking about using blockchain doesn't mean that's the same blockchain that we're trying to talk about. There is decentralized blockchains and there's centralized blockchain. There's centralized cryptocurrencies and decentralized cryptocurrencies. And I'm not going to spend the rest of the show debating crypto or anything like that, but I do want to share a couple of my thoughts and maybe, you know, just get some things in your mind, get you thinking about this stuff. Because I do hold Bitcoin. I have Bitcoin, I have Ethereum. I've you know, been getting paid in Bitcoin since 2013. I haven't been holding it, I've been spending it. I've bought plane tickets with Bitcoin. I've bought food, I've bought drugs, I've bought, you know, all kinds of things. I've traded it for money, you know, for cash, for Federal Reserve notes with other people. If you go to the website, theconsciousresistance.com, you search Bitcoin PSYOP, you're gonna see this interview that me and James did, I think last year, about the Bitcoin PSYOP, which is one of James's videos. And we get deeper into that. And I recommend you guys checking that out. But let me just show you these social media posts I did on Facebook. Let's go to this other one first. So I basically said, I know there are lots of you who have concerns as well as many misunderstandings about Bitcoin and crypto in general. But if you are not holding any amount of crypto, specifically Bitcoin at the moment, I recommend getting some. Because if you haven't heard, Bitcoin hit 33,000. I'm not saying it's a panacea. I'm not saying it's going to solve all our problems. I'm saying that people in the liberty freedom movement are gaining wealth and we're using it to fight this system. Yes, there are concerns about the origins of Bitcoin. Yes, the predator class is envisioning a world where all humans are on the blockchain and track and trace. Yes, just as they do with everything, they will try to co-opt the growth of the crypto for their own purposes. However, it is important to understand that thousands of different crypto and blockchain projects, which are specifically working on combating the government, providing encryption, privacy, etc., and we are in a digital arms race between those who want to use digital technology for control and those who want to use it for liberty, free exchange, and encryption. So again, it's not all equal, it's not all the same. And you can argue all day about the origins or whatever you think it is. If it's a scam, I'm gonna go ahead and sit over here and watch my wealth grow and watch my piece of land grow, because that's what I'm using it. I'm using Bitcoin as a store of value right now, and then I'm gonna cash out and I'm gonna buy land to build the Conscious Agora so I can break free from the system, so I can help other people break free from the system. And I will continue to do that. Not again, because I think it's a perfect solution or because everything, you know, we shouldn't worry about where it comes from. And I also don't even think Bitcoin's the best one. It's just the most popular, so it's the most lucrative right now. But I think the real value in crypto is using it. I don't like to think of crypto as just digital gold, because I want to be able to go buy my bread with crypto. I want to be able to go pay my rent in crypto. And the more people that we get to use decentralized cryptos and privacy coins like Monero, which is way better than Bitcoin, then the more this ecosystem grows and the easier it is for us to get off the banking system, to get off the Federal Reserve system, to get off the central bank system. Yes, the central banks are working on their own digital currencies, but those are going to be fake cryptos. Those are not going to be real decentralized cryptocurrencies. Those are going to be completely controlled currencies. So in some ways, they want blockchain to become popular so they can get people on their fake coin. But that's not what I'm promoting. And here's another one on the crypto. Friends, if you are talking down or paranoid about crypto, but you are still using banks, then take a look in the mirror. The banks that are holding your money are using it to fund all kinds of horrible activities around the world. Not to mention, they are the same people who robbed the world in 2008 and well before then. Crypto isn't perfect or a panacea, but it's one tool among many that can be used to break us free from the banks and the government. They know this, and this is why some governments are banning it and others are attempting to. Why do you keep using banks? Is it convenience? Is it uncertainty? Lack of concern? Please share the answers and I will share them with the audience. And I just think that's a practical thing that we have to consider and think about, guys. Like, it's not meant to be me just trying to call out somebody or say like, oh, look, I'm better than you because I don't use banks. But I do believe that we have to live in line with our values, and we can sit here and talk all day about wanting to break free from the system. But if we continue to use their systems, then how are we really doing that? How are we breaking free if we're still on it? That's just what I want to highlight. And then the last thing I want to highlight here is this other post I made, because I know some of you hear me talk about agorism and counter economics. This is mainly in my books. I know a lot of you don't read my books, but if you want to hear my actual solutions, you're going to have to do more than watch a video. I put a lot of time into the books. That's where my well thought out arguments and essays are. That's where I explore agorism and counter economics in depth. I recommend downloading the free PDF on my website for how to opt out of the technocratic state. So I know many of you have heard me talk about solutions like opting out of the systems, but this strategy is called agorism and counter economics. It was identified in the 1960s by Samuel Konkin III. So what does that mean and what does that look like? Imagine that you live in a world where the government and corporations are starting to make it illegal to travel, to eat, work, and play without satisfying some arbitrary requirement, like proof of vaccine. Now imagine that you are completely against getting said vaccine, but you still need to work, play, live, and travel. What is the answer? The solution is to opt out of their systems and to use the counter economy. And what does this look like? You find a doctor to write you a fake vaccine passport, or a hacker who can create a fake immunity passport for you. You find someone in the black market willing to sell whatever fake documents you need. Perhaps you bribe a cop to look the other way so you can pass on your way. This is agorism in action. This is the power of the counter economy. For every step the state makes to clamp down on us, the stronger the opportunities in the black and gray markets. And as I said, if this is interesting to you, please visit my website and you can learn a lot more about agorism and counter economics and all that sort there. Okay, so that's the crypto talk. I just wanted to get it out there. I have one more brief note, and then thanks for the reminder. Somebody said, ask me what my interview is about tomorrow, and that's very important. It's one of my most important interviews, and I really, really want you to tune in. So I had a crazy dream last night, guys, and I shared it on Facebook and on my social media, and I got a lot of comments. Again, the comments go all kinds of ways. I have friends. I'm friends with all kinds of people. I got friends who believe that the earth is flat and that space is fake and that we're living in a bubble or a dome, and I'm okay with that. I like having those conversations. It doesn't offend me very much. I just like to talk about it. So because of that, because people don't believe space is real and that we're in a bubble, then they think that aliens aren't real, of course, and things like that. I personally believe that alien life in the sense of life from other planets is real. Why am I talking about aliens? Guys, if you haven't noticed, in 2019 and 2020, there has been lots of little drops talking about, oh, aliens are real. Just most recently, a couple of weeks ago, we had this dude from the Israeli government, former Israeli official, saying that the Galactic Federation is real and that the U.S. is part of an intergalactic federation that Trump knows about and that there's other alien species that are visiting. I mean, just this whole thing, things that I used to read about as a kid because I've always been into paranormal stuff and I've seen UFOs as a child. At one point, I thought I was abducted by aliens. I mean, it's this whole thing. So I've always been into the paranormal, into the weird and stuff like that. But as I've gotten older and I've started to learn about things like Project Bluebeam, which came from Serge Manast, maybe I'll do a whole nother video on that separately so you guys can hear my thoughts on Serge Manast. But if you look up Serge, he was a Canadian guy who talked about how he supposedly had access to NASA documents proving that they were going to fake an alien invasion using hologram technology and using technology to beam messages to people's minds to get them to commit suicide. Ultimately, they said it was about turning people to believe in one new God, you know, the New World Order God, however you want to claim it. I find that most of those theories come from a Christian standpoint, a scared Christian standpoint. I don't buy into that necessarily, but I also know that they do have the technology. I've seen the technology. Just the other day for the New Year's in Seattle, some of you guys might have seen this video where they were doing all these crazy holograms. It's super cool technology, but it's so realistic. And I see it and I wonder, like, wow, if we saw that projected into the sky, would we know the difference between a fake UFO and a real UFO? I don't know. But I want to share with you guys a little bit about this dream that I had, because it relates to aliens. It relates to all this stuff. In many ways, I think we are witnessing a fake disclosure. I'll say I don't trust Stephen Greer. I don't trust David Wilcock and a lot of those people. I think that they are totally leading people astray. And I know that some people think aliens are actually demons or that they're interdimensional. I mean, I believe, and I was taught from our creator, that the creator created the rock, the stone nation, the animal nation, the swimmers, the crawlers, the flyers, the two-legged, the four-legged, the star nation. There are all forms of life, that some physical and some not physical. So I am open to it all. And I know that I really don't know shit. So here's my dream. I dreamt about the alien invasion and it was not pretty. Who knows if this is the next card the Predator class will play, but if you were paying attention to 2020 and 2019, they have subtly been releasing details about alien life and crafts from other worlds. As a child, I was obsessed with aliens and UFOs. I have seen three in my life. As I've grown and learned more about the government programs and concepts like Project Bluebeam, I have become more and more skeptical of these pronouncements from the media and from the government. Either way, what I saw in my dream did not go well. The aliens and whoever they were working with killed many people, rounded up others, and allowed some of us to live under one condition. Humanity was no longer allowed to procreate and populate the planet. I don't know what this dream means, but I pay attention to my dreams and visions. And I know there are lots of opinions on what aliens are, interdimensional, demons, machine elves, and others who think space isn't even real. Personally, I know there are aliens from other planets, and I think the question is, how long has the government known, and how long have they been collaborating? What do you think about the prevalence of UFO and alien talk? So I just wanted to share that and get some opinions, because it started a lot of conversation on my social media. I know it's a big topic. We know one of the first things I started to wake up to was the work of Jim Mars. Jim Mars is now dead. I got to interview him a couple times before he passed away. He wrote a really epic book called The Alien Agenda, or Alien Agenda. I just recommend reading that, because he was going to publish it in 1992. The government blocked him from releasing it. In 1994, they released some new files about UFOs, and he was allowed to release his book. He also wrote a book called Sci-Spies, which is all about remote viewing. And basically, as part of remote viewing, the idea is that these individuals can project their consciousness to different parts of not only the world, but in different parts of time and space, you could say. And what the remote viewers saw is that, and this is, again, this is based on remote viewing, which could just be some imaginary shit, but the US military studied it for 40 years. They spent $40 million studying remote viewing, which is the ability for each of us to project our consciousness through space and time. And they said that every single, this is real. If you've seen the movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats, it was a fictionalized caricature version of what was really going on in this program. But what they discovered is that every single soldier that they tested this program on, and they got them to exercise this muscle, that they all had the ability. It was much like a muscle. So we all, I believe, have the power within our minds. And I think this is one of the greatest secrets that they're keeping from us. So anyways, these remote viewers said that they remote viewed, and they went back to, I believe, around 1945. It was during Eisenhower's presidency. And they basically said that they remote viewed Eisenhower meeting with some sort of aliens, that they witnessed some craft landing next to the military. And then Eisenhower met with them, and they basically said that they would give them technology if the US government allowed them to take certain people periodically to experiment on them. And, this is where some people say they've been abducted, et cetera. And again, this could be nonsense. You could take it however you want, but there's definitely lots of important information out there. Now, as I said a few moments ago, I don't trust the government though. So I don't know, what's going on. It's really crazy, all this. That's why I just wanted to share my dream. I do think that we are witnessing a fake disclosure. I think it's possible that, let's say, aliens do exist. If they do exist, then I think that they're already here. They're probably working with the government. More than likely, there's benevolent species. There's probably, what we would term evil species. And I'm not even going to get into this whole idea of reptilians and grays and all this stuff. Like I said, I'm entertaining this topic because that's why I started the Conscious Resistance. I wanted to be able to talk about anything I want. Psychedelics, aliens, anarchism, government, politics, conspiracies, that's what we do here. So although I don't have all the facts on this topic, I do think is it an interesting topic to explore. And this dream freaked me the hell out. I mean, it was one of the most vivid real dreams I've had in quite some time. And like I said, it didn't end well. It definitely did not end well. You know, so I hope that whatever's happening, that we all do get prepared, because this is my point, right? Whether there really are aliens coming, whether the economic collapse is coming, whether there's going to be a power grid coming, all these fears and all these things that we've been kind of put in our mind because we're seeing them do these simulations. And so we're all kind of on edge. We're prepared, right? We're being aware. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. In fact, it's better than being ill-prepared. But at the same time, we cannot simply live in fear. We have to be proactive, my friends. We have to start taking steps to heal ourselves spiritually, emotionally, because the reason the conscious resistance exists, because I recognize that I had so much trauma and I turned to drugs and alcohol and just living very destructively as a way to try to make it through. I thought that was the answer. And that took me to prison. In 2005, I got locked up. And that was where I started to wake up, where I started to meditate and started to heal and work through my own trauma. And so I recognize that until we as individuals and as a species heal our own trauma, we are not going to be able to overtake this situation in the physical realm. We have to work on our doubts, our fears, our insecurities, healing our inner child, reconnecting to our inner child, and connecting to the creator and to the planet. And when we do that, guys, then we are more empowered than ever to take on the rest of the insanity that's coming our way. So I just want to share that out there. And one final little clip I'm going to share with you guys. I know I've said final several times, but this is the final. In relation to the whole Bitcoin conversation, so many of you have been emailing me this clip from Catherine Austin Fitz. Look, Catherine does great work. We haven't interviewed before, but we're friends with, we have associated colleagues and friends. And a lot of you seem very excited about this interview. I didn't really find much too new or appealing to me personally. But I did want to share this one little clip with you guys, because she's sort of talking about agorism and opting out without realizing it. Right here, I'm just going to play you this 30 seconds with Catherine Austin Fitz from the Planet Lockdown full interview. Says she's talking about the banking system, guys. And listen to what she says. Although she doesn't mention crypto, she does mention getting your money out of the bank system. That's the answer. You can't just sit by and watch this happening and keep giving them your money, because you're giving them power. So just check this little clip out, what she says right here.
In the meantime, I was engaged in 12 different tracks of litigation, litigating with the people who are trying to engineer the housing bubble. I was trying to stop the housing bubble from happening. And I was writing a check on my JP Morgan Chase personal banking account. I realized, why am I banking at the bank that's doing this criminality, that's destroying communities, that's doing predatory lending? And I said, you know, I need to come clean. I need to stop banking there. So, you know, if tomorrow everybody woke up in America and stopped banking at JP Morgan Chase and said, you know something, y'all are criminals. We want nothing to do with you. We're out, and went to a local credit union or community bank. It would be a revolution. It would be a total revolution.
She's right. It would be a total revolution, and it could be a bloodless revolution, because the economics is so important. So many people are ignorant to the economic side of things. I'm not just saying get into crypto because you can get rich. That's not how I see it. It's cool if it's gaining in value, but to me, the reason it has value is because I can get off of their economic system. So get out of their system. Stop supporting the banks that have been robbing you blind, have been funding war, have been funding drug trafficking. We know that these banks have also been involved in human trafficking and all sorts of horrible things. If you're supporting them by using them, by having your money in them, even ATMs, I'm trying to get away from using banks as an ATM, but of course they've built up a world that many of us are dependent. So I'm not victim blaming. I'm not saying it's your fault, but I'm saying if we don't take this information and do something with it, then we only have ourselves to blame. And Brandy Smart says, you still have to pay taxes. And I would say, no, you don't. I won't say anything else publicly about that because I've been advised against speaking about that too loudly, but many of us have severed our relationships with the IRS and we're not looking back. So my final note, guys, is that tomorrow evening I have an interview, a very, very powerful interview with a young lady who I will tell you all about tomorrow. I don't want to give too much away, but let me tell you this. If you want to know the depths of the pedophile problem, if you want to know the depths of the pedophile networks and you want to see how they are international, then you're going to want to tune into the Conscious Resistance Network tomorrow evening. It's actually going to be 12 p.m. afternoon. Excuse me, 12 p.m. Central, which will be 12 a.m. her time. She's in India. She's going to be staying up past midnight for us to do a long interview. It's probably going to be an hour to 2 hours because we have so much to cover. It's going to be one of my most important interviews. This woman's life is in danger. She is exposing pedophile networks in India, and these pedophile networks are part of the larger pedophile networks, and she is ready to come out in the open. She's ready to speak out about what she knows, and she does have evidence to back it up. So please, if you're around tomorrow evening, Monday, please tune in to the Conscious Resistance Network for a very powerful interview that I hope you will share widely, because this young woman's life is in danger and she has chosen to come to me to help share her story. So please stay tuned to that. And that's it, guys. I appreciate all your time. Again, my website is theconsciousresistance.com. I do this. I try to do this every Friday. It's Sunday, but what the hell? So I do this once a week. I put out videos weekly. I write articles for The Last American Vagabond. If you want to support me, you can go to patreon.com/Derek Bros. Once again, I have a brand new podcast debuting exclusively on rockfin.com/consciousresistance.com. Go visit, go learn all about my platform. Go out there and do good things. Grow some food, get some skills, connect with yourself, heal your heart, lend a helping hand. And until next time, my friends, remember, we are powerful, we are beautiful, and we are free if we want to be. Peace.
Public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
The world of 2020 is rife with chaos. People are overwhelmed with fears of pandemics, frustrations with institutional racism, the blunt reality of police violence, and calls for revolution. These calls grow louder with every day that passes, and with every new act of violence, the people grow impatient. It is at this vital juncture that we must question the narratives being fed to us. If one examines the current paradigm, armed with critical thinking, an understanding of historical geopolitics, and a healthy skepticism of power, media, and other official authorities, they may walk away with a deeper understanding of our predicament. Are we allowing the chaos to divide, confuse, and control us? Is there more to the equation than we are being shown on the television and social media? Are the presidents, prime ministers, kings, and queens the true source of our ills? Or are these figureheads merely symbols meant to distract us from those who truly benefit from a great reset of our world? The Conscious Resistance Network presents a brand new documentary series which will expose the various systems and individuals which hold the true power. We aim to expose those who have laid the foundation and continue to build the Pyramid of Power. Coming soon from the Conscious Resistance Network.
This is Derek Bros. Derek Bros. Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
We're not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking
hell! Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.